Thank you for joining IAB There. And now your host, Angelina Ng. Over to you, Angelina.
Thank you. Today is July 20th. I'm Angelina Ng, VP of Measurement and Attribution here at the IAB and IAB Tech Lab. Welcome to IAB There, our daily live stream in which we connect the digital advertising ecosystem. On today's topic, we're going to talk about the state of video measurement with my special guest and colleague here at the IAB and IAB Tech Lab, Eric John, Senior Director of Digital Video Center of Excellence, and Amit Shetty, Senior Director of Product at IAB Tech Lab. Let's welcome them both. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Angie. All right. Good.
So we're talking about my favorite topic, which is about measurement and specifically the state of video. I know that the both of you have been focusing on video for several years now. And so I wanted to kind of start the conversation and direct it to you, Eric. This is more of like we're all co-hosts, so lots of back and forth conversations between the three of us. But Eric, with the Video Center of Excellence, I know that you've been speaking to a lot of members, and you have the television campaign that is spearheaded by IAB. Can you talk a little bit about what you're hearing from your members as well as some of the companies out there?
Sure. Well, so if you're a publisher or a buyer, you probably know that the IAB NewFronts just finished up, about almost 3 weeks ago now. Seems like a million years. But what was amazing to see in that marketplace, now virtual event, was how many publishers that presented were talking about, you know, audience targeting, and in particular, the ability to reach incremental audiences. So, you know, especially in these days when buyers are so attuned to efficiencies and being able to nimbly move and connect with consumers wherever they are, a lot of publishers are pivoting to that ability to reach, you know, to help those buyers and brands, you know, connect with their audiences. And so the big picture is that, you know, we all saw with the pandemic a ton of viewing behavior shifting towards streaming. And what that opened up as a reality is that, you know, you can't reach your audience in the way you used to. If they're streaming, they're probably a good percentage of them are probably not watching linear anymore or cutting the cord. So I think now we're in this moment where brands and buyers need to be able to understand, you know, for their spend, are they seeing an audience or connecting with an audience in addition to their linear TV spend, in addition to their digital video spend? It's now a mandate essentially to understand the efficiency of your buy across all platforms. So totally amped up need for measurement, as you'd expect.
What's interesting, though, I think with linear and digital, is that incrementality is very important. But also, I think that the if you think about user behavior and how they use digital channels versus the linear channel, sometimes it's two different behaviors. And you know, we talk about incrementality a lot, but I also think that there's a necessity to continue the story. If you're a linear consumer, continue the story of communications in a digital fashion, and perhaps not repurpose your traditional television spots and cater it a little bit more towards the digital environment, so that it's more of a well-rounded communication, if you will. That's my opinion. So I sometimes look at, you know, we have advertisers that spend on linear, but sometimes the message is more reinforced when they're on the digital side. So it's a complement and not necessarily always an incrementality question.
Yeah, it's not enough to reach that incremental audience. You have to reach them with the right message. And I think that's the other thing that the pandemic has highlighted, is that, you know, the ability for brands to pivot with the right messaging. Initially, it was, you know, we've got your back, cue in the piano music. But now it's actually different products for different states, different levels of opening up, different levels of now receding back into lockdown for some states. So it is really critical to be able to be opportunistic, nimble, agile, and you're creative. I think the television commercial is going to be, you know, there's going to have to be a rebirth, a rethinking of what that means. And so Amit, you know, this is where you come in, because being able to serve that right creative to the right audience all depends on the right protocols. And, you know, I know you've been working a lot in the tech lab and evolving how we do that, how we not only serve, but also measure and understand engagement.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And before I talk a little bit about the standards, a quick comment on your comment about adjusting to the right kind of creatives. I thought it was very impressive how quickly a lot of the brands switch from the pre-COVID ads to the whole delivery mode, a whole lot of things that just changed from the come together to, yeah, we might be apart, but we've got this kind of mode too. So I definitely love that. From a standards point of view, absolutely agree. Obviously, it's for any technology to scale, standards are going to be a key part of that. If you want to go beyond just the one, you know, couple of players that can get anything done, and that I think is where the changes to the video standards recently, when I say recently, as a couple of years, have really come into play. Right, so VAST, VPaid, and all those have been around for a long, long time, and it's only in the last few years that we have really been re-architecting, to steal a term from a different initiative, those technologies to truly support the new world, better support CTV, better support, in fact, even mobile and so on to be able to do that. I'd say there are probably a couple of things that come to mind when we talk about that. One is just VAST itself. You know, VAST is a great great way to deliver your metadata, but it also contains a whole bunch of beacons and impression pixels and so on, which are key to be able to measure regardless of what the client is on. And I think that, especially on the CTV side, that has been a great first step to get people some really useful measurement going. Now, obviously, you got to go beyond that, not just the measurement of the your quartiles and such, but go beyond that to viewability and things as such. And that I think is where historically we've used VPaid, which I think the entire industry has a great love-hate relationship going with, right? But that has a number of challenges, the least of which being the black box nature of it. So we've been moving at the Tech Lab. We've been moving towards towards moving away from VPaid to open measurement. So open measurement has been around for again for a year, I think a year or two. Initially started off as a project focused on mobile, which has obviously a lot of similarities with CTV in many ways. But we have a very very well baked solution for iOS, Android, and such. But we are going to release a open measurement for web in short order. CTV is still a slightly bigger challenge to come past, but that's one of the things that we are talking about right now in the open measurement working group. Now, trying to figure out what can be done across the variety of platforms. Unlike mobile, which have mainly two platforms, in CTV, you have a whole bunch of platforms going. So you got to figure out what can be done all those various platforms.
Yeah, so let's take a step back. So for those that are listening that aren't too familiar with, you know, what VAST and VPaid is, can you talk a little mm-hmm. bit, what are the differences and what are the benefits? And I know, Eric, you helped to put together some collateral on the benefits for publishers versus buyers versus consumers. So what do you see as the primary benefit? And what do brands need to know about VAST what should they do?
Do you want to take that, or Amit, do you want to pick that up?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. So good, Eric.
So we really wanted to help explain what the business side needs to understand about VAST. And I think, you know, as we were just talking a couple minutes ago about the imperative for brands and buyers to understand which creative is being served where. The new version of Vast supports something that you know, maybe a little bit in the weeds, but there's a critical bit of metadata called ad ID. And so the latest version of Vast supports this. It's a creative identifier called ad ID that enables a lot of, it can basically power a lot of goals that brands and buyers have been looking to achieve. Think about frequency management, think about understanding, you know, optimization. If you are not providing detail on which creative is serving where, you're flying blind. And so this is a huge, huge value prop for Vast in being able to understand creatively what's showing up where, and then optimizing against that. Frequency, reach, the whole gamut can be more powerfully managed with the ad ID. So that's just one thing. And then the other thing that we talked a lot about was Vast supporting server-side ad insertion. And so what that really enables is a much more TV-like commercial experience, supporting big, big files. They're called mezzanine files. But so being able to support the publisher's serving of that in a much more seamless TV-like experience is another huge upside for adoption of 4.0. I'm sure I'm leaving off a lot.
What's interesting is, so going back to the universal ad ID, I had reached out to Harold Geller, who oversees ad ID.org. And interesting stats is that predominantly, especially between medium and large size advertisers, a good majority of them do leverage universal ad ID, but for traditional linear sense, right? And so that hasn't really translated down to the digital team. And I do think that it's really important for brands to know that that many of their platforms support the insertion of a universal ad ID within their ad servers, within their programmatic platform. And so it's just a matter of providing that universal ad ID over to your ops team to then be able to have that transmitted across the digital ecosystem. And it does make it does help publishers identify who the advertisers are, which commercials are running. And also for those that actually vet through these spots, it enables them to approve creative much quicker. So real big advocate of the universal ad ID. I think the latest stat that Harold had sent to me was that approximately 85% of large organizations have that use the universal ad ID, and medium-sized companies about 75%. I think the challenge with universal ad ID is at the local level. So a lot of local TV spots aren't actually indexed within that, and as also the scalability of being global. So that is something that I think we'll hear more about from the ad ID organization. Amit, your perspective?
Yeah. I absolutely agree. In fact, right now we are having a conversation in the video working group around how to better support ad ID. I think that everyone agrees that having the universal ad ID is useful, but we have been seeing not enough adoption, and so we're trying to figure out and for all the reasons that you just mentioned, right? So you know, the transition from linear to digital not completely getting all the good practices also as they move in, but and the other part is definitely the local the smaller businesses when they are advertising they don't really get an ad ID regularly. So we're trying to try to push adoption a little bit harder, but also provide some direction on how you can handle these things better, right? So if there is no universal ad ID to support, or if you are on an older version of Vast, which is not ideal, of course, for this scenario, we still want to provide some guidance on how to better handle that.
So I know that with there was Vast and there's BePaid. BePaid has had many challenges in publisher adoption. We still have a lot of publishers on Vast, Vast 2.0, Vast 3. Now the latest version is Vast 4.2, right? So why do you think that the one vendor that I've been speaking to, they're seeing about maybe 15% of publishers have adopted Vast 4. Why do you think it hasn't kind of been fully adopted yet?
I think there are a number of reasons. One, the primary one is obviously that this is one of those things where you need both sides to kind of synchronize and make the upgrade together to a certain degree. That has been definitely one of the challenges. The second thing, and I think that's probably the biggest one, is that one of the biggest benefits of moving to VAST 4, and I just use VAST 4, 4.2 is obviously the one we should get to. One of the biggest benefits to moving to VAST 4 is the elimination of VPaid, right? And that's one something that we are definitely looking forward to, and we are promoting a lot. But the fact is that without the open measurement for web being released, it has been a little bit of a tough move. Only the people who don't necessarily focus on that particular use case, folks who need server side ad insertion, the kind of folks who have made that move already and are seeing the benefits. But for more widespread adoption, I do think that getting the open measurement for web is going to be the next step.
Yeah, I remember when I was running ad ops at Merkle and at Dentsu, one of the biggest things that as a buy side that we can do to push forward is to have the buy side request that their partners upgrade to VAST. And so, Eric, do you feel that the buy side has done enough to push that forward, or is there still a level of education that needs to go on? Or
I think what's going to happen is that there's going to be a push that's going to force everyone to shift their eyeballs to getting to supporting VAST 4.x. And that's shoppable video. I mean, you look at the number of presentations, it was easily a quarter of all presentations in the new fronts talking about how brands need to engage more directly with consumers. Shoppable video is a means to do that. And if you think about it, that engagement, that ability to understand the engagement with an ad, that is typically it was the original design purpose of VPaid. Obviously, it was hijacked for other reasons, and so kind of, got off track for what it was supposed to accomplish. Now there's CIMID, right, Amit? And so the ability to really have a purpose-built support, standard to support interactivity across all platforms. CTV will come later, obviously, but I think understanding, how consumers are engaging with increasingly direct-to-consumer ad formats that enable that conversation and that connection. The industry follows the eyeballs and it follows the money. And it's pretty clear that shoppable is going to be a big driver for that adoption.
Now, given the COVID epidemic that we have, we're hearing that a lot of inventory is being shifted towards video, especially CTV. And I think that, it was interesting. I don't know if you guys read the article that came out on, I think it was on Ad Exchanger, around Adobe announcing that they're kind of pulling back from programmatic television. And, it was a little bit surprising to hear that, given the fact that, there is so much focus on need for CTV inventory and so forth. Do you see programmatic video, especially in the CTV space, rising and given fraud and concerns for fraud, how do we ensure that that the inventory is good quality and hitting the right audiences? So kind of your perspective on the programmatic landscape for CTV, either of you?
I can speak to it, and then I think the what we saw and heard from the IAB's video ad spend report was interesting, because it asked the questions of brands and buyers, brands in particular, about programmatic in-housing. So the big driver of that, and programmatic, I think also needs a little bit more specificity. When you say programmatic in the land of connected TV, it is not, what is not meant is open exchange based, RTB based, marketplace like you see with display. In the CTV world, it is, TV like super premium inventory, And a majority of that, if it is using programmatic pipes, it tends to be private marketplace. And even beyond that, the majority of the inventory is still sold on a reserve basis, you know, often with an upfront, you know, new front conversation. So I think the growth of programmatic on the brand side is really interesting, because that points again to the importance of first party data and using that data as an enterprise value. So I think you'll continue to see more brands taking ownership of their ad serving data, their engagement data, because it increases their understanding of their campaign and their consumer. So that's going to continue. Whether programmatic in the large exchange-based sense will start to take place more and more in OTT and CTV, that's kind of a marketplace dynamic issue. I think as more AVOD inventory enters the mix, and the need for monetization will continue to grow across the long tail, programmatic alone will continue. It also will raise the importance of managing the marketplace and managing the supply chain, because when you don't understand where an ad is showing up, therein enters the opportunity for fraud. So, you know, I think it's something that has to be watched more carefully. With defining programmatic, I think that's a good thing to start with, and then. You know, I think there's ways to improve the supply chain. Amit, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that Angie, you hit exactly the two points which I think this entire industry is going to be figuring out, if you will, right? So one is identity, and the second thing is ad fraud, right? So identity, obviously, we have the big privacy concerns as obviously, there's a demand for being able to target better, being able to measure better, and all that. But there's also the question of that's the push, if you will, and the pull is obviously the privacy part of it, right? So we still, as an industry, I think, are trying to figure out what the best path is around all this. And secondly, on the same topic, if you think about CTV, it's still a comparatively new space, right? If you think about the IFA for CTV devices guidance that we released, that was just maybe 2 years ago at best, right? And so that is something, and we, of course, we're already talking about the end of the IDFA and all that from the Apple conversation, but the fact is that on OTT and CTV devices, it's still kind of new. It's something that is still being built through. All that, where I'm going with all that is that the whole identity part of it, I think it has to be figured out. And that's probably what's causing a little bit of the turmoil in the space. Probably the other part is from an ad fraud point of view, right now, if in order for the CTV OTT inventory to really scale and be truly available via programmatic, the ad fraud concerns have to be met, right? So right now it's not a huge deal for most people, because it's all still contained within private marketplaces and so on. But for it to really become big and programmatic, those concerns have to be addressed. And we do have some initiatives going on that front as well, right? So we have the appads.txt for CTV guidance that we believe should be done pretty soon. And there are efforts. We were working with the orgs like TAG as well to help with the IVT front and so on. So there are a lot of things going on that front as well, which I think will help with the space.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges that we have is that many of the suppliers or the direct providers that we're talking about, the level of data the data consistency is pretty lacking, right? So each platform, each provider has their own unique set of data structure. And so do you think that we'll get to a point where we will be able to establish some standards through the work that you guys are doing? I know that there are a lot of trade organizations that I've been participatory in that are trying to solve a lot of the approaches to multi-touch attribution, cross-media attribution, but would love to hear from the technical perspective. Do you foresee anytime in the near future a way to really standardize data sets across all these different providers?
Oh, that's a really difficult question, to be perfectly honest, right? It's one of those things where we are kind of watching the plane being built as we're flying it, right? So there are components like the IFA which are the standards that are definitely getting more and more adoption, and more, probably more importantly, consistent adoption, right? So it's not a question of each platform doing its own thing in a silo. It's actually amazing how many different requests I've been getting over the last couple of months around, okay, can we get our IFA included in the list and make sure that it follows all the things that we're talking about. The same thing with the application IDs, right? So the concept of app IDs has been kind of all over the place on the CTV front, and now is getting a little more standardized, which will also help with things. So I don't know if I can really make a prediction on exactly what will happen, but I'm reasonably confident that most of the people in the space understand the value of standards and you know, having a consistent mechanism for doing pretty much anything really, and we will head in that direction rather than trying to have individual siloed solutions.
I think one question that Eric and I have talked about several times is around, you know, measurement, the kind of, will we be able to achieve nirvana? Being able to help marketers understand what's actually happening with their campaigns, what kind of impact that it's having on sales or user engagement. And what I find interesting is that, and we talked about this, that I feel like maybe 7 years ago, we were in a really good state, at least from a digital perspective, to get a lot of the information. We had a lot of information at our fingertips, like user ID and our ad server file. There are still some ad servers that do provide that today. But the idea of being able to map your digital data to actual people in their CRM databases. I feel like that, you know, we were just at the tip of being able to solve for that. But then Google made some changes. Apple made a lot of changes, including the inability to do cross-site tracking and limiting post view. Eric, do you hear from brands where are they looking at video data as part of their digital initiatives or as part of their linear? Or are they kind of doing a hybrid? Do you have a sense of how they're actually trying to figure out how much budget to allocate towards digital video and CTV and so forth?
Well, the interesting trend that we saw, again, the video ad spend study that we did, was we asked specific questions about convergence, you know, that notion of digital and linear coming together. And buyers and brands were all really quite bearish about their ability to reorg their teams to be much more holistically focused and much more, you know, ultimately about understanding, you know, the combination. So I think that is a sign that budgets will follow, you know, they already are. The brands are looking for understanding the consumer wherever they are. And so the notion of here's a linear budget, here's a digital budget, I think that will continue to fall away, because the reality is that's not how consumers behave. And understanding media and advertising is all about understanding the eyeballs and what they're doing.
Actually, Angie, if I can ask a question to you. You've been working on a whole host of measurement-related initiatives. Can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing, especially with your conversations with other orgs like MRC and such? What kind of direction we're headed in?
I think that there's a lot of unknown right now, given the state of privacy and consumer data. There seems to be, you know, I think a lot of people are realizing that the level of granularity that they're getting today may not be available in a few years. So I see a convergence of taking some of the traditional ways that we measure television being applicable to digital. So leveraging possibly first party audiences or first party server side data, being able to extrapolate some insights across their behavior, who they are, and so forth, and apply it towards and extrapolate it to a much larger audience. I think brands will get frustrated, I know of several that have taken lots of efforts to take their server-side log data, married up with their first-party audiences and their first-party data, including their site analytics, and really trying to create user profiles off of that. And this notion of being able to kind of connect the dots and really see how exposure data impacts sales on the back end, either offline or through a long purchasing cycle in some cases. And I think they're going to realize that the types of data that they're getting now is going to change. And I think one of the things that we need to do is be able to identify what sets of data that we will be able to collect and figure out mechanisms that will enable some sort of modeling of that data. A lot of the browsers are talking about, or even browsers and platforms are talking about inserting noise into the data sets. So the prohibiting the ability to fingerprint or stitch audiences. So I think we need to prepare for that. And a lot of the trades are looking at what current data sets are available now, trying to figure out what those gaps are, at least for the current state. And then as it evolves to evolve into what that might look like. But there's a lot of work that needs to get done right now to map all these different data sets and the way that the pipes or the wires are crossed, because it is so inconsistent. And there's, even though that we have MRC standards, there's still several different data points that are being collected that are not accredited or that are not standardized, including the ways that we calculate things across different channels. If you think about video on social, being able to ascertain insights from video engagement within the social platform is much more limited than you see in a video ad that is in the programmatic environment. So that's kind of what I'm hearing. But, you know, I'm pretty optimistic that we'll come to some sort of maybe not one methodology, but several different approaches that will be very creative. So some exciting things that are happening by various companies out there.
Can I make a prediction?
Okay, make a prediction.
So I think especially as the privacy landscape becomes more concerning, I would expect, you mentioned modeling, and the flip side of that is deterministic. I think that you're going to have, there's planning, there's measurement for planning, and there's measurement for proving it, right? So I think that modeling, buyers are going to be okay with modeling to understand where consumers are in general to inform the plan. I think when it comes to proving it, that's where the first party and deterministic data, there's no substitute. You know, there is no substitute for understanding a transaction. So I think you'll start to see what's good enough for the plan and what's necessary for the post sale or the post conversion analysis. That's where things will start to converge or diverge. You'll have modeling versus deterministic, depending on the use.
Yep.
That's just a prediction.
Well, guys, Well, guys, we are at time. We're 3 minutes over, so we're getting the notice to wrap up. Sure. So I really appreciate you guys joining. So I'll close it off. I'll close
Thank
it
you.
Off, but you know, hopefully we'll have another session like this, because this is, I think, really helpful. Okay, so on tomorrow's IAB There, we are very excited to welcome AgColony's Matt Barish and IAB Tech Lab's Alex Cohn, where they'll be discussing getting in the hands and minds of consumers. IAB There is a production of the Interactive Advertising Bureau. Our show today was produced by Connor Healy, Joe Ons, John Ward, Carrie Villanueva, and Twafiga Mohinadin. I'm Angelina Ang. Thanks for watching. Come back tomorrow, because if it's 2 p.m. Eastern on a weekday, you know it's time to IAB There. Thanks a lot, guys.